Well, we have had some sad and shocking news in our church in these last couple of weeks. And if you've looked at the website or seen the bishop's article in the bulletin, it's referring to Cardinal McCarrick, former Cardinal McCarrick, and what happened there, as well as what was not reported from various dioceses in Pennsylvania. For the last 16 years, regarding the abuse of minors. And this is, I'm probably speaking for all of you, but I am so angry. I'm bewildered. I don't understand how we could be going through this again when this was supposed to have been, it was bad enough the first time. Not that it was excusable the first time, it was horrible. It was unthinkably bad. Nothing like that. We've never lived through anything like that. I was in college at the time. We thought errors were corrected and accountability was taken, which in many cases it was, and that's great. But the places where it wasn't taken care of leave all of us wondering, well, what else is there? What else is there? So I am angry, and Scripture says, be angry, but do not sin. But there is a point of justice here, that some sins cry out to God for justice. And the fact that we are a people of mercy, we are always a people of mercy, does not mean that there aren't people that need to be held to account. And that we as a church don't have a responsibility for the body of Christ. Now, it's not your fault, it's not my fault, but we are the body of Christ, and when one part sins, we all are wounded. And we are all called to make reparation. Basically, what reparation is to, it's like from the word to repair the damages, to repair the damages that the body of Christ has done, and in this case, the clergy, the leadership, the bishops. We're called to reparation. It means humble ourselves, prayer and fasting for God's healing on our church, which first of all means that those who need to be held accountable will be. Sure, we should forgive them, but yes, they need to experience justice. And we need to pray for that. There's a certain level of taking responsibility that I just feel I want to apologize to you on behalf of the clergy who did this or did nothing about it. And humbly ask that you could forgive us and them. I mean, us as a group. We have been betrayed. You have been betrayed. And the reality of this coming to light now is, as I said, it's something that we need to all own in a sense. I don't mean that it's your fault. I don't mean that it's my fault. I mean that when we take responsibility and pray for reparation, we pray for first, as I said, first, justice. Second, that anything else that needs to come to light, that it will. And people need to be held accountable, and we need to know. And of course, thirdly, and maybe in a sense, most importantly, maybe it should be first for the victims, for those who've been victimized, and for those who have been re-victimized by this just coming out. Also, for those who have been scandalized by this. We're all scandalized. But some people, their faith is it's not as strong, and they don't know. When they see this happening, they don't know, is there anything real to the church? They don't know. And so we pray and fast and ask God's mercy. This is something that we do as Catholics for all kinds of sins of the body, not just personal sins, but also sins of the body of Christ. The Lord would ask us to do that. It's also fair to say that if you have something to say or you feel you need to write a letter to me or to the bishop, and I think that might be fine. I think that might be good. I would encourage you to allow the Lord to speak and allow your heart to speak. As we find ourselves in this situation, I somebody asked this question, and it was the question I thought, wow, that's it. You've just hit on the question. And what he said was this: after all this, why do I still want to be associated with the Catholic Church? Why am I still here? And he wasn't saying I'm leaving. He wasn't saying that, but he was like, why am I still here? After all this, again? This should have been dealt with 16 years ago, and it wasn't. Again? How deep does it go? What else do we not know? Why am I still here? And I just want to tell you why I'm still here. I noticed that you're still here. I couldn't help but notice you showed up to church today. And I want to tell you why I'm still here. I'm here because of this gospel. Well, I think I told you this when I came here. I'm a poor sinner. I am a sinner whose only hope for salvation is that I have Jesus Christ for a Savior. If there's one thing that this whole mess has brought up in me, I heard Father Steve Mattson say this, and it rang true for me as well. I guess it brings up a lot of things, but one of them is hatred for sin. And beginning with my own sin, it bears horrible, disgusting fruit. And I see sin, and I see the fruit that it brings, and I don't like it. And this is just a reminder to say, oh my goodness, Lord, I'm a sinner too. And I need you too. I am a, like I said, poor sinner. I have Jesus for a Savior, so that's a pretty good hope. But He is my only hope. Far from seeing these sins and then saying, oh, you know, I would never, and, you know, condemning in self-righteousness. No, that's not my heart at all. I'm a sinner too, and I need Jesus. And this gospel, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you do not have life within you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. Yes, Scripture tells us, if we receive this without faith or in serious sin, we don't go to confession. You might say, all those priests did the same thing. Yeah, but they were in serious sin. They didn't go to confession. Scripture is very clear. In 1 Corinthians 11:27, anyone who eats the body of Christ without first discerning that it is the body and preparing themselves to receive it, they eat to their condemnation. They eat and drink to their judgment, and I'm quoting. Don't look at those people and say, oh, well, see, no, the Eucharist gives us life, but we can't come to it unworthily, like without repentance. Okay, we're all unworthy. Like I'm saying, I'm a sinner, I'm unworthy. Repentance. And we come to the Lord, and I need Jesus. I need Him. I am a poor beggar. I need the bread of life. I need Him. That's why I'm still here. I assume that's why you're still here. We need Him now more than ever, but now all the time. We need Him. It's either the bread of life or it isn't. And somebody's sins aren't going to change that. Why else am I here? I'm also here because, and I'll try to keep it together when I say this. You know, to be associated with the Catholic Church is not always, at this moment, it is not easy. To wear my collar around in public and be associated with the Catholic Church, people will think about the worst sins of the priests and the clergy, and that's what they will associate me with, and they have. So far I've only gotten one actual comment by somebody who was driving away, so we didn't really have a confrontation, which hopefully I would have been humble and just taken it, you know, just like Jesus. But you might be tempted to say, I don't know if I want to be associated with the Catholic Church. Like, why do I want to be after all this? I want to remind all of us that Jesus, when He was on the cross, He was not ashamed to be associated with His church. And this is a profound mystery, but when Jesus died on the cross for our sins, yours, mine, and the worst, He associated Himself with you and me in our worst moments. They crucified Him. When they crucified Him, they didn't know they were killing the Son of God. They thought He was a fraud, and He died with criminals, as a criminal. He was not ashamed to be associated with me in my worst sins. And you, in your worst sins, He was not ashamed to be your God. That's how much he loves you, and that's how much he loves me, and that's how much he gave for his church, his bride. And now that it is my turn to be associated with him and his church, will I now be ashamed to be associated with Jesus or his church? No. I will be ashamed of the sins of the clergy, yes. But I will not dissociate myself with his church. Are you kidding? After what he did for me, you think I'm going to just take off the collar? If I'm ever ashamed of the collar, you give it to me. You let me have it. Okay, if I'm at Snap Fitness, give me a break. Give me a pass. The Lord is actually called, he invites us in some way to, and in some degree, to take on the same attitude that he had. That same love that he had. It wasn't fair. He wasn't guilty of what they thought he was guilty of. He wasn't guilty of anything. Me? You? You might not be guilty of what they think you're guilty of. I'm not guilty of what they might want to associate me with. He took it anyway. So be it. So will I, if that's what's going to happen. But I will not be ashamed of Jesus Christ or his church. He says very clearly, if you are ashamed of me before men, I will be ashamed of you before my heavenly Father. I don't want that to be me. I love him too much. I mean, where else am I going to go? Who else has ever loved me like that? And who else feeds me with his body and blood every day, and especially every Sunday? So we're not done dealing with this as a church. Probably not done preaching about this. I don't know. I know that it needs to be addressed, and that we also need to be reminded why we're here. We're called to pray. We're called to fast. We're also called not to be ashamed of our Lord or his church, not to dissociate ourselves. He didn't, and I won't. And anybody who wants to follow me, we're still going to be inviting people to know his love. I'm not afraid to invite somebody to Alpha. You know, I don't know what they're going to say, but I am not afraid to do that. Okay, maybe I'm afraid, but I'm still going to do it anyway. Because I don't want to be ashamed of him. And because his love is still real, he's still the bread of life, and he is still good, and he is always going to be faithful to his church, it is good that this stuff has come to light. We pray that anything else does. The Lord is inviting us to be very humble, like beggars, but not ashamed or not afraid, not timid, not so timid that we don't invite other beggars to find the feast. The feast is here. That's why we're here. Don't be afraid. Do not be ashamed. Only pray. Pray and fast, and then pray some more, and stay close to the Eucharist. The Lord is faithful, and he will never abandon his church.